to join me in a spirit of prayer. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. So my first introduction to the show Rent was in the year 2000 when I was singing in an LGBT choral organization. I sang in the mixed choir. There was also a men's choir, and then there were two small ensembles, one for each gender. And the men's choir did a mashup of two songs from Rent, Will I and No Day Like Today. And the way they put it together was really powerful because they started with the Will I and then they sort of morphed into the No Day But Today. And the way the song Will I is set up in the show, it's in a support group and the different people say why they're there. And so when they staged this, they had the guys in the choir, like three of them, say their own story. So it wasn't like they were reading lines from the script. And so this one guy got up and he said, "Hi, my name is Brian. I was diagnosed with HIV in 1983. And when that happened, I had no idea I would see the millennium." So he had been living with HIV for 17 years at that point, which was pretty amazing. So that was my first introduction to Rent. And then 5 years later in the same choir, I got to sing Seasons of Love, which is a different song. Will I and No Day But Today are kind of more powerful, and Seasons of Love is more celebratory. So that was a great gift to sing that song as well, which is where the 525,600 minutes. So the show Rent deals a lot with the AIDS crisis, because there's four people in the show and the characters who have HIV. So there's eight friends, and they're basically in three couples. There's Mimi and Roger. Mimi is an exotic dancer and a heroin addict and HIV positive. Roger is a rock musician, a songwriter, and he's also HIV positive. And then there's Joanne and Maureen, who are a couple. She's a lawyer. Joanne's a lawyer. Maureen is a performance artist. And then there's Tom and Angel. Tom is a part-time professor at a New York university, and Angel is transgender, sometimes uses male pronouns, sometimes uses female pronouns, and does a lot of drag. So you have three very different couples here. And then there's also Mark, who's a filmmaker, who's Roger's roommate, who had been dumped by Maureen, and Benny, who sometimes is with Mimi, and used to be Roger and Mark's roommate, and then he married up, so now he owns the building that they all live in. So you can tell that this is kind of based on an opera because of the way all these folks are intertwined. And it is. It's based on Puccini's opera La Boheme. Instead of tuberculosis, though, it looks more at the HIV epidemic in the 90s. And this show was first performed in 1993, which was still 2 years before the height of the number of deaths in the United States from AIDS. So it was still a touchy subject when this show was first performed. And you can tell that in a lot of the angst that a lot of the characters have in a lot of these pieces of the show that happen in the support groups. There's angst there. They're like, will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? And so there's gonna be a clip I'm gonna show in a second with this song called Will I? And there's four of the characters in this clip. Tom and Angel are there, Mark is filming it, and then Roger shows up later. You have to remember that at that time, AIDS was still kind of a death sentence when you had that diagnosis. And not only that, a lot of folks were disowned by their families at that point. So it was kind of a double whammy of, great, now I'm gonna die, and now my whole family has blown me off. So there's a lot of struggle there. And so these support groups came about, and I assume they still exist, for folks to process how they're feeling about their physical health, how they're feeling about their psychological health. And so this Will I song is gonna show that, and it'll show not just the angst, but also how the folks come together to support each other. And the words are very simple. If you can't understand them, it's will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? Will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? And it's sung kind of as a rhyme that you see. So I'm going to ask. So you're probably asking, what do a small group of support folks have to do with today's reading? And there's that angst. There's that angst about what's going to happen to me. And you can say the same thing about the folks who followed Jesus. They were mostly peasants and day laborers, widows and orphans, and folks who were considered unclean. So there are a lot of outcasts. And it wasn't like here where maybe you could, you know, have a way to eat. These folks, if they didn't have an income, they didn't eat. So that angst is palpable. What's going to happen to me? In the scripture that we heard today, before that takes place, it tells us that Jesus was preaching to huge crowds that were actually trampling over each other. That's how much they wanted to hear his message. He tells a parable about a man who has such a huge harvest that he's like, oh, my barns aren't big enough, so I'm going to build new barns. And when I build new barns, I'm going to have more harvest, and it's going to be this awesome thing. And he's got this huge, rich future ahead of him. But then God tells him, yeah, guess what? You die tonight. So all this focus on your stuff, pointless. So that's the backstory of today's scripture. And so then Jesus mentions, why are you focused so much on your stuff? Why are you focused on food? Why are you focused on your clothes? The focus of life is not about your stuff. That worry does never add an extra moment to our lives, ever. So he says, strive for the kingdom of God, because God will provide. But we so get caught up in our stuff. Oh, my house isn't big enough. Oh, my car's kind of old. Oh, my shirts are all old. Oh, that was so last year. Hey, when you woke up this morning to make breakfast, did you have a choice of what you could eat? When you went to get dressed, did you have a choice of what you wear? And even still, we're so focused on our stuff. We get caught up in our stuff that we forget to measure our lives in love. We're so good at measuring our lives in stuff and bank accounts, we forget to measure our lives in love. How do we do that? By spending time with friends or family. By being with folks when we're hurting, with folks when we're joyful. It's sharing our lives with others, being vulnerable with others. It's telling someone I love you when that's really, really scary. That's how we measure our lives in love. You know, Jesus says, strive for the kingdom of God and God will provide. Well, that's not magic. It's not like if I sell all my stuff and plop down in the parking lot that God's going to show up with a U-Haul. Because that's just trading stuff for stuff. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying that we have to love and support each other, because when we love and support each other, we will be loved and supported. Then we will be able to survive. It's not like when we should not sit in our room and rock back and forth and say, will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? Will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? Will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? Because what is that doing? It's not doing anything, and you're just getting caught in this feedback loop of, oh my gosh, I can't do anything. When we come to church, we think of church as like our support group, where we get love and support. That is where we can love each other, allegedly, without any fear. That's where we can measure in love. And I want to share this quote with you from a sermon by Trudy Denise Robinson. She says, when you're trying to decide on any given Sunday about whether to come to church or not, don't think about whether you'll like the music or whether you'll like the sermon. Come because there's someone there that needs you to love them. Come because someone there needs you. That sound kind of like a support group to you? Come to church because someone needs you. It's not about you, it's about who needs you. That's some powerful stuff. Come to church because someone needs you. Someone you to love them. What does that look like? Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's a high five. Maybe it's just sitting and chatting. Maybe it's checking in. Maybe it's just saying, hey, you know what? I haven't seen you in a while. How you doing? Someone may need you to love them. That's why we come to church. It's interesting, in this show, Rent, there's actually somewhat of a resurrection. Whereas last week in Godspell, which is the story about Jesus, there's no resurrection. But in Rent, story of folks who are struggling with HIV, there's a resurrection. How does that work? At the end of the play, Mimi, who was with Roger, she and Roger had broken up. She's ended up homeless. She's been using heroin again. The friends have kind of distanced themselves from each other. Roger's moved to Santa Fe because he wants to write this love song before he dies. He's like, I gotta write one last love song. And he finally does, and he comes back to New York. He wants to sing this song to Mimi because he truly loves Mimi. And Mimi's sort of been in this weird on again, off again thing with Benny, which has been problematic for Roger. So they finally find Mimi, and she's not doing that great. And Roger sings this song to her, tells her how much he loves her, and then she appears to die. But then she comes back. Hopefully that's not a spoiler alert for anybody. But then she comes back, and I would suggest it's because Roger loved her back to life. Told her how much he loved her. He sang this song that just threw out there how much he loved her. So he loved her back to life. And that's what this scripture is about, is how we love each other into life. It's not about our stuff. It's not about, will I have a food tomorrow? It's not about, will I have enough clothes tomorrow? But will somebody love me enough that I will be alive? That's how we strive for the kingdom of God, is we love each other the way Christ loved the disciples. We don't worry about our stuff. We measure our lives in love. So the song that we heard earlier, Will I, there's kind of that angst and that I don't know what's going to happen next. But in Seasons of Love, which we're going to hear in a minute, it's a celebration of life. How do we measure a life in love? Well, they're going to give you some ideas. But the crux of the song, it's time now to sing out because the story never ends. Let's celebrate, remember a year in the life of friends, because Rent takes place over 1 year. So it's a celebration. How do we measure in love? By letting go of our stuff. So let's measure in love.
Thank you. Good.